Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. On this election day, we're happy to have Jesse Perez, social studies teacher, and Frederick Douglass, James Madison Fellow, join us in studio. Jesse, I know you kind of have the day off today, so I appreciate that you're taking time to spend it with us.
Yeah, thank you. So at Shorewood High School, yeah, we have the students have the day off. Teachers are kind of in. We have a little bit of meetings in the morning and then afternoons. It's just some classroom work time.
So, okay. Yeah. All right. So I got to ask you first up, like, just how hard is it to kind of keep your students' parents' political views out of the classroom?
Yeah. So at this point, I feel like it's nearly impossible. And so one of the things that we try to do is, like, instead of trying to keep their views out, we try to teach students how to sort of navigate their parents' biases. And just, we talk a lot about bias in general and how we all bring something to the table. And so one of the big things that we do is we focus on students being able to identify bias. Where do their ideas come from? They think a lot about, you know, how do they grow their ideas?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do they challenge one another's ideas?
Yeah.
How do they get themselves out of their comfort zone is kind of a big part of civics. So,
yeah. And then, you know, obviously you're always balancing in the classroom kind of the real politics and real issues of the day, but also teaching the basics. How does that happen in your day-to-day life as a civics teacher?
Yeah. So in civics, we focus a lot about, you know, we talk about the history. We talk about the history of our government, sort of the foundation, the founding principles and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we focus on the actual structure. And so a big part of civics is each student is essentially sworn into the class
nice.
As a legislative, you know, as a member of the legislature. And so each student sort of has a responsibility. They have to respond to their constituents.
Mm-hmm.
They explore their own ideas. They figure out where do they align maybe politically. And what are they interested in?
Mm-hmm.
And so then from there, we go into a lot of debates and things. And so kids get a really good opportunity to just exploring a ton of ideas.
Yeah.
And so we try not to, like, shy away from those things, but we try to embrace those.
That's great. So what's your background, Jesse? What led you to social studies teacher and even in the James Madison Fellowship as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was actually planning on going to law school out of college. I'm from Elgin, Illinois.
All right.
Went to school pre-law major. While I was studying for my LSATs, I started working at the Boys and Girls Clubs in my hometown of Elgin, and it was really fun. It was a lot more fun than, like, the sort of the paralegal work that I was doing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I also met a girl,
my
current wife. And so, you know, I was like, man, I think I like working with kids. And so I got into teaching. That was 9 years ago. I moved from Elgin to Milwaukee, in 2015. I took a teaching position and kind of never looked back. In terms of the fellowship though, my wife and I were talking and we were like, you know, I wanted to get my master's degree just because I wanted to become more specialized and just understand my content a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And so figuring out how we were going to pay for that was a big deal. So I started looking online. And then I found the James Madison Fellowship, applied for it. Was awarded the fellowship in 2023.
Yeah.
And so I've been working on my graduate degree since then. Just came back this summer from Georgetown. We had a summer institute there, so pretty cool.
Very good. All right. So I know we have two kids. We have a 12-year-old and just turned 17-year-old, and they ask a lot of questions about the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hard one to even explain to adults, right? So how do you use your background to explain the Electoral College to kids?
Yeah, so the Electoral College is very confusing. And so the way that I explain it is it's almost like a point system. There's 538 points that we want to get. Those points are based on the, you know, 435 representatives in the House, 100 senators in the Senate, and then also the three electoral votes that are Washington, D.C. And so basically our presidential candidates are not looking to get necessarily your popular vote. They are trying to win over those points, and those points are designated by the states. They essentially choose electors. And so Wisconsin, we have 10, you know, and so the Wisconsin's worth 10 points essentially.
So when your students ask you the question, mm-hmm. so I'm going to be able to vote at mm-hmm. some point. So my vote, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. How do you answer those questions?
Yeah. And so we just kind of say, you know, it's like a winner take all system for, especially for Wisconsin. But not necessarily every state, but And we say, look, the founders, when they created this system, it was a compromise, right? Mm-hmm. There were some who were like, look, we're giving too much power to individual people. These people are easily manipulated. Perhaps they aren't going to be as educated. And so this was a compromise between those who were like, no, let's go fully democratic, and those who were like, we're going from a king, so maybe we don't move too quickly. Mm-hmm. And so it was a compromise, basically to maintain and make sure that the most elite states people were the ones who got elected. And so essentially that's how I explain the system. Okay. You know, it's a point system. It's kind of, you know, based on some historical, the founders kind of mm-hmm. understanding, you know, of where they thought the average citizen was mm-hmm. at that point. And so that's kind of where we are today. So
we're talking with Jesse Perez, civics teacher in the village of Shorewood. So Jesse, what can we as adults learn from high school kids today?
Wow. So I feel like I learn from them every day.
Yeah.
I think that high school students are incredibly resilient. They're super hardworking, but one of the biggest things, and this is something that I love the most about my high school students, is their curiosity. They are so willing to just, like, they just get excited about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so as adults, it's kind of a good reminder to still never let that sort of magic disappear,
yeah.
but sort of try to stay curious about things. If you really get interested in something, like, go into it, like, look into it. High school kids have no problem doing that because essentially that's what they're told to do every day.
Yeah.
And so it's a good reminder. I think it helps keep me young. And so I love it.
Who is your teaching role model?
Man, I have a lot. I would say I have a ton of role models just in Shorewood. Sarah mm-hmm. Coplin, who's one of my big mentors. Sam Coleman, who's been a mentor for me since I started teaching in Milwaukee. I also have an amazing social studies department at Shorewood High School. Our department chair, Evan Schmidt, Brian Schulteis, some great people. Nicole Megan Neuer, Tom Sala. And also my principal, Mr. Kenny,
all right.
who's just a great role model. Our AP, Amanda Jamerson. And my wife, who's not a teacher, but she teaches me quite a bit on a daily basis. So,
all right, I'm going to have you stick around.
Yeah.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The first polls will close at 5 p.m. on Tuesday Central Time in some states. The last at midnight Central on Tuesday in between. Obviously, there's going to be a steady stream of closings every 30 to 60 minutes with voting ending in key presidential swing states between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central. A lot happening on Election Day, for sure. A lot happening in the classroom as well. So Jesse Perez has joined us for this hour here on The Upswing. Jesse's a social studies teacher in the village of Shorewood. So, Jesse, as you're talking to your students the rest of the week, how do you they're going to go home. I mean, they're off of school today, but they're going to be at home watching results with their parents, seeing maybe emotions get heightened here and there. How do you counsel families and students to take in the election results?
Yeah, so a couple of things. I first off recognize that a lot of people are sensitive based on which direction the election may swing. And so I encourage the students to just be respectful of that. You know, some people may be celebrating, some people may be crying, you know, at the end of today or tomorrow or this week. And so I always try to say students need to be, you know, sensitive to that. But I also encourage them to really unpack the, you know, results.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what does this look like moving forward? You know, it kind of reminds me of a letter that George H.W. Bush wrote to Bill Clinton where he said, hey, look, we fought a tough race. You won. But now I'm wishing you the best. And so hopefully, you know, that smooth transition of power, regardless of who it is, happens.
Yeah.
Because that's really a reparative moment, not just for the two candidates, but also for our students and for all of their constituents, all of the constituents, right, for mm-hmm. our entire nation to sort of be able to rebuild and move on. And so I encourage students to continue following. We continue talking about these
yeah.
things in civics class. And you know, regardless of what happens, we pick up, we go forward, and we, you know, we do the best, and we root for, you know, all of us. So
no matter what, continue to have conversations and connect and collaborate moving forward, because there's always going to be another game, right?
Exactly.
All right. We just asked first-time voter Hannah where she got her information from a high school perspective. When your students come up to you and say, I'm getting all this information in my feed and TikTok and this and that, where do you say that they should turn to news? I mean, obviously, other than WTMJ and get the analysis that we provide each and every day. But what do you suggest to high school kids?
So a couple of things. I provide some sources in class, but for the most part, I want students to sort of develop that critical thinking skill of what is a good source. So one of the things that we utilize at Shorewood High School is something called the CRAAP test. So it's something that was kind of developed out of University of Chicago, which essentially says, is a source current? So that's a C. Is it relevant? Does it have authority? Is it accurate? And then finally, what is the purpose of this source? Is it to sell something? Is it to persuade us? Is it to inform us? And so students essentially have to use that test to decide whether or not a source is relevant or not.
All right. Very good. Jesse Perez, social studies teacher in Shorewood. All the best for the rest of the week. Continue to teach our kids well. We appreciate all that you do.